You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Acts chapter number 4. We'll look at one verse this afternoon. Acts chapter number 4. And let's look at verse number 13. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were surprised, shocked, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. If I can place a tag on this text, if I may, I would like to speak to you on this subject, the power of influence. The power of influence. Not out of tradition or ritual, but because we really need the Lord to help us. I believe with all my heart that the Lord helped us a few moments ago with the preaching. But ask the Lord once again, Lord, speak, because I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. Let's ask him to help us. Father, just for a few moments now, we know, God, that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. But we must understand that safety is of the Lord. Lord, we can have all the games and administration, organization, and we can go horse trying to extemporaneously preach the word. But unless, Lord, you would build this house, we all labor in vain at building. So, Lord, I ask that you would supernaturally help me to convey the message that you've placed in my heart. Thank you for what we've heard. What a tremendous truth that is, God. May I apply and live by that. Now, Lord, I ask that as we look at this passage, that we would understand some things about the power of influence. And that, Father, if there was somebody here today that does not know my Savior and my best friend, Jesus Christ, I ask you, God, that you would please bring conviction, God, and that today would be the greatest day of their life. Please help them, God, to see the light. Please help them to confess Christ. Lord, there may be others in this room that are discouraged because of a family situation. I don't know, God, the situations. I don't know the circumstances, but I know that you do. And so, Father, please continue to work here. All is in vain, God, unless you show up today. Thank you for how good you are to us. Please put the words in my mouth and give me wisdom as I speak today. I'm only here to exalt you and to preach Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee. In particular, the Lake of Gennesaret. There are many people gathered around to hear Jesus speak and to hear him teach the things concerning the kingdom of God. As he is by the shore, he asks one man if he would let him go into his boat. He thrust out just a little bit from the shore and he began to teach the people there. That man is amazed because the people are listening to Jesus teach and preach. And the Bible says he taught as one that had authority. And that's another message, but all power is given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. Praise his name for that. And as he's teaching, the man approaches Jesus. He's in his boat. You know, his name is Simon. His name is Peter. And Jesus said, why don't you come out a little ways and launch out into the deep? In other words, take your nets. You're a fisherman. You need fish. Go to this side and launch your net out into the deep. And Peter begins to say, Lord, we toiled all night. Master, teacher, we toiled all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast the nets. And when they launched the nets out into the deep, the Bible says that the nets were so full of fish that they began to break. Peter, in his excitement and perhaps his nervousness, looks over and says, hey, sons of Zebedee, James and John, come help me with all these fish. And the Bible says that both of these ships are now full of fish. Full of fish. The reaction that Peter had was that he fell on his knees and he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. It is obvious that there is something special about you. It is obvious that God's hand is upon you. It is obvious that you're much more than just a teacher. It is obvious that you have a special kind of power. Jesus looks at these men, he says, listen, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. These men, the Bible says, immediately forsook their nets, they forsook their families, and they left it all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with him. Let me just stop here and say this. 25 years ago, I found myself on the north side of Long Beach without any hope. 25 years ago, I found myself in a broken home. 25 years ago, I found myself with a single mother and a baby sister. 25 years ago, we had no hope. We had no peace. 25 years ago, I received a knock on my door by a man. His name was Dave Bordeaux, and he came and knocked on my door, and he said, I want to take you to church, and there's a bus that comes by every Sunday. Are you interested in going? And quite frankly, because of my situation as an 11-year-old boy, I said no. I was bitter against God. How could God be real? How could Jesus exist? And I found myself with my mother and my sister in these circumstances. The Bible says God is love, and at that time I didn't know that the Bible said that, but had I knew, I would have questioned that love. How? The man came back. He said, Sammy, I want to invite you to go to church today. He said, we're giving out hot dogs today. That day I went to church. And Popeyes was serving chicken sandwiches. Chick-fil-A. 25 years ago, I was listening to a preaching tape, and the power of God fell in my room. I didn't even know what it was like, but I knew that God had showed up in my room. Here's what I told God. God, I'm going to give you one chance. I didn't know anything about the sinner's prayer. I had no idea what that was. I had no idea that somebody could come and say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. No one walked me through that. But I knew that we were hopeless. I knew that mama needed help. I knew that my sister needed help. I knew that I needed a foundation. I knew that the area we lived in was drug infested, gang infested, prostitution infested. I knew this was a mess. And the only person that could have helped me in that time, I bowed on my knees that day, and here's what I told God. I said, God, and I remember the prayer, I said, God, if you're real, I'm going to give you one chance. If you're real, I'm going to give you one chance to come into my life and to change me. If you're real, Lord, you know I need a father, and I need somebody to help me throughout this life. I need somebody that can help my mother. If you're real, God, then come right now. I remember praying that, and I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old, and I remember praying that like it was yesterday. And I'm telling you, 26 years ago, when I prayed that prayer, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God took up residence in my heart. I didn't know all the terminology or all the theology, but that day I got saved by God's amazing grace. And ever since then, for the last 26 years, the greatest privilege of my life has been to be with Jesus. Now you see Peter, James, and John. This is known as the inner circle, the inner three. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus. Could you imagine what it's like to be with Jesus? They saw the miracles that he did. First miracle, they're at a wedding, and they run out of wine. Peter, James, and John, they're looking at the inner circle, the inner three, and the rest of the disciples to be with Jesus. And they begin to see how Jesus works the miracles. And his mom spoke up. You know his mom spoke up. Now I'm going to tell you, let me be real. Mama, she'll put you on blast. Yes or no? Can I get an amen? Amen. You say, what does that mean, put you on blast? We don't speak like that where we're from. In other words, mother, she will embarrass you. How many have a mom that will embarrass you? Raise your hand. That's right. Can I get a witness? Good. Jesus' mom did the same thing. She goes, I got a son. He can do something. He's like, Mom, what are you doing? It's not my time yet. And of course, when they poured out the water, wine came out. First miracle that Jesus ever did. Could you imagine being Peter, James, and John? They're looking at this. Wow. Look at Jesus, man. He's doing this miracle. Fast forward, there's a blind man on the side of the road. He touches his eyes and makes them see. Could you imagine being Peter, James, and John, and they're just astounded, like, wow, dude, that's amazing. Then another occasion, they go to a city called Bethany, and there is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and the Bible says that it had been 4 days since Lazarus had died, and by this time, Master, his body stinketh, and I'm glad that I didn't show up that day for your sakes, that the intent that you might believe that I'm God, you might believe in me, that me and my Father are one, and glorify God. And that day, Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. Peter, James, and John are watching all this. They're excited, like, wow, we get to be with Jesus. Could you imagine what it was like as he huddled them around in a circle and he broke bread with them and began to speak to them the things that would occur? Lord, stop. You cannot go to the cross. Stop, stop, you cannot go. The Lord rebuked Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Whoa. He said, get thee behind me. He just roasted you, Peter. Ha ha! Woo, he roasted you. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't know if I would have been, I mean, if I was Thomas, I would have been roasting him. Like, hey, man, Peter, Satan, come over here. Not Peter, Simon. Peter, Satan, come over here. Now, listen. They were with Jesus. Yes, they saw the miracles. Yes, they took part of the miracles. Yes, they seen him do all kinds of miraculous things, but at the end of the day, the greatest thing was that they were allowed to be with him. Fast forward. Now he takes the inner three, and they're going to a place. And I think I've been to that place. I know the saying in Israel, it's either here or near, or something like that. And I think that place was the Garden of Gethsemane. He takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you study that word Gethsemane, that's a whole thing that'll blow you out of the water. But right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says Jesus is praying, as it were, great drops of blood. And he's asking, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But before he goes, he says, listen, Peter, James, and John, I want you to tarry here for a little bit. And I want you to do two things. I want you to watch, and I want you to pray. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He came back. And he found them sleeping. I don't think they were sleeping because they were tired. They could have been, but I think they were just sorrowful. They were sorrowful. They were like, man, what is going on with Jesus? And listen, after that, the Bible says that there cometh one that betrayed Jesus, kissed him. You know, it was a sign, 30 pieces of silver. Judas, they take Jesus to the judgment hall 39 times. The cat of nine tails, he's buffeted in the face. Crown of thorns upon his head. Nails upon his feet. Nails upon his hands. And as he's on the cross, you know, the seven sayings. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I thirst. And one of the last ones that's for me in my heart, just one of the greatest sayings of all time, tetelestai, it is finished, praise God. The work that I came to do, the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world. He gives up the ghost. Fast forward, 3 days later, praise the Lord, we know the story. God raised Jesus from the dead. And all of us said what? Amen. So Jesus is alive. Peter and John are no longer with him. All men forsook Jesus at the foot of the cross. I believe I would have done the same thing. I don't want to be too hard on those guys. I would have done the same thing. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She cannot find the body of Christ. Began to talk to the gardener, the Bible says, and she didn't even know she was talking to Jesus. She thought she was talking to Jose. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I can say that I'm the Spanish pastor. You'll be okay. And then you know what happened? Jesus said, Mary. That's beautiful. Mary. And when Jesus said her name, she said, Rabboni, Master. She quickly runs and tells people, said, Peter, Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive. And she's going frantically telling Mary's, or going around telling people, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. By this time, the Bible says, Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know what he's saying? I'm going back to the world. I'm going back to the things that I was doing when Jesus called me to follow him. I'm going back to the world. I'm going back to the drinking. I'm going back to the partying. I'm going back to sin. I betrayed Jesus. He told me before the cock would crow thrice that I would betray him, and I betrayed him. I'm no longer useful. He no longer wants me, but him that leaned on the Lord's breast when Jesus showed up, he said, it is the Lord, Peter, it is the Lord. And the same thing they were doing when Jesus called them to be with him was the same thing they were doing when Jesus showed back up on the scene. And you know what Jesus told them? Follow me, follow me. You see, he wanted to be with them, with them. Fast forward, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Those were the last words of Jesus. And then the Bible says two men in white apparel were standing next to him and said, ye men of Galilee, why are you looking to this Jesus? He says the same way that he's going up into heaven will be the same way that one day he'll descend to earth. And I just want to stop right now and parenthetically say, Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. Now listen, the Bible says now the church is beginning to grow. The power of the Holy Spirit has showed up. And Pentecost, there's 3,000 people saved. Whoa, my goodness, the power of God falls. And Acts chapter number 3, something crazy happens. The Bible says that Peter and John, the men that were with Jesus, Peter and John, they're walking into the temple. And in a gate called Beautiful, they find a man who's been crippled for over 40 years. He's been crippled for over 40 years. The Bible says he would be laid at the gate daily. So I don't know if his mother would drop him off every day. I don't know if his father would drop him off every day. But somebody came and laid this man at the gate called Beautiful every day. The Bible says it's about the 9th hour. That would be approximately 3:00 in the afternoon. Peter and John go to the temple for the time to pray. And when they go into the temple to pray, they notice that a man is at the gate and a man is looking at them. And the Bible says he was expecting to receive something from them. He had his "we'll work for food" sign out. Can you see him? He had his canister out. Over 40 years, he's been at this gate. Over 40 years, he's been begging for food. Over 40 years, people wagged their heads as they walked by. We don't have anything today, Joe. Sorry. I don't have anything to give you. The Bible says that when these two men of God show up, they said, look on us. Look at us. Silver and gold have I none. These are the words of Peter. I don't have what you think you're looking for. I don't have what you think you're looking for. I don't have monetary substance to give you. But what I do have, that's what I'm going to give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that Peter extended his hand. I like what one preacher said. The power was of Jesus, but the hand was Peter. And we see how God works with us and through us. And Peter took his hand and he rose to his feet. Well, you know what happened in the temple? There's all thousands of people there listening to the word of God. And the Bible says that he's leaping and jumping and running around in the temple. Here's a guy that was 40 years lame on his feet. He couldn't walk. He couldn't run. He had no ability to get up on his own. And immediately his ankle bones were strengthened and he's walking. And he's leaping, and everybody's freaking out. They're like, wait a minute. Was that the guy that was sitting at the entrance of the temple? And they begin to chitter, chatter, chitter, chatter. And over 5,000 at least, I know at least 5,000 people are gathered at the Porch of Solomon. These are huge colonnades, and I mean, just a huge thing. And over 5,000 are gathered. You know what Peter does? Peter stands up, and he begins to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, ye men of Israel, you crucified Jesus. You were the one that did this. And this is the Prince of Life. And this is the man that you crucified. Well, the Bible says that many of those people believed. 5,000 believed. And you know who didn't like it? Here's the people that didn't like it. The captain of the guard, the Levites, the priest, the Sanhedrin. They get ticked off. And here's what they do. They take Peter and John, and they take them. They put their hands on their shoulder and said, hey, we can't have court today because it's too late. So we're going to drop you guys off at San Quentin. Tomorrow, we're going to have court. So Peter and John spend the night in jail. I mean, they spend the night in jail. The next day, they're gathered before the Sanhedrin. Now, listen. I want you to see their courage. They're gathered before the Sanhedrin. Now, these are the same people that sentenced Jesus to death. The Bible says that Caiaphas is there and Annas is there. These are high priests. The Sanhedrin, these men that sentenced Jesus to death. And here Peter and John, so boldly, the Bible says that with all boldness, they gave testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What courage they had to tell the same people that put Jesus to death, listen, you are the one that crucified Jesus. Could you imagine going to a court of law and telling the people that put Jesus to death, telling them it was your fault that you crucified Jesus? This is the same Christ. This is the stone which the builders rejected. This has become the head of the corner. In other words, there's no salvation apart from the name of Jesus. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that Peter and John were preaching in the name of Jesus. They didn't like that Peter and John were so bold about the Lord Jesus. And can I just tell you, teenagers, look at me. Whenever you go onto this world, whether you're in public school or whether with people that don't want to hear about Jesus, they're never going to like the fact that there's a generation in this room who love Jesus, who live for Jesus, who exalt Jesus, who adore Jesus, who love him with all their soul, all their heart, and with all their mind. It's going to take courage to do that. Here's what they said. We have to come up with a new law for these guys. Watch their commandment. You can no longer preach or teach in the name of Jesus. Can no longer do it. Peter gives the answer. He says, listen, you have to judge lawfully. I'm paraphrasing. Here's what he says. You think we should obey you, or should we obey God? Should we obey you, or should we obey God? You say, well, what do we obey? Sammy, what do we obey? The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. What should we obey? We live in a day of moral relativism. You live your truth. You hear people out in the world YOLO and you only live once. And some people try to propaganda the you do you, boo-boo, you do you, boo-boo. In other words, whatever seems right to you, you just go ahead and do it. You don't have to explain anything to anybody. If you think that's black, that's black. If you think that's white, that's white. If that's red, that's red. It doesn't matter what other people say. There is no absolute truth. And I'm trying to tell you, teenagers, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. I'm trying to tell you, thy word, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true, praise God. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Hey, God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Oh, I might not sin against thee. And I'm trying to tell you, teenager, today, if you are going to live by a commandment, may it not be the commandment or the rudiments or the rules of this world. You fall in love with the Bible and the word of God and say, whatever God says in his word, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Praise God. And lastly, would you see this? And I'm done. Notice the cripple. This is cool, man. I like this. Acts chapter number 4. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 14, Acts 4:14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Look at verse number 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot what? Verse 16, we cannot what? Let's say this nice and loud. We cannot what? We can't deny it. In other words, the cripple, look at me and I'm done. The cripple was proof that Jesus was alive. The cripple was proof that Jesus was alive. It was proof. They said this man could not have walked other than the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. You say, what does that have to do with us? I'm trying to tell you that we are a representation of the cripple. This world can only know that Jesus Christ is alive. Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What am I trying to say this afternoon? Is that this world needs living proof that Jesus Christ is alive. And the only way that they're going to know that Jesus is alive is when they see you and when they see me, not our flesh, not the things that we can come up in our flesh and our own strength, but when they see the light of Jesus shining through our lives, praise God. Who likes to celebrate Cinco de Mayo? None of you guys like to eat tacos for no reason? It's all good? Amen. Lower your hands. By the way, I'm sick of people trying to tell me that Taco Bell is real Mexican food. Taco Bell's not real Mexican food. By the way, I'm gonna go a little closer to home to some of y'all. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Chipotle, it's not real Mexican food. All right, that's all right. That's okay. That's okay. That's an unpopular opinion. It's all good. I know you love Chipotle. All right, here it is. Cinco de Mayo. That's about maybe 5-6 years ago. Going up on the ramp in Long Beach. I love the city of Long Beach. That's where I was born and raised. going up the ramp on getting close to the 710, saw a file of like maybe, 10 cars that were lined up. The police were stopping people. I was like, man, I got a little felony. I'm trying to figure out how I can get away. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. Calm down. I knew you had a felony, brother. No, anyways. They're stopping these cars. I'm like, what is going on, dude? What are they stopping these cars for? Three cars before they stopped me. Pastor, here's what happened. I was like, oh, here we go. The officer said, get out of the car. Three cars in front of me, the guy gets out. And I didn't record it. I just, whatever. Police said right here, he said, I want you to put a little roll of tape out. He said, I want you to walk in a straight line. A couple minutes later, he took a device out called a breathalyzer. And I'm watching all this. I'm intrigued. I said, all right, go ahead. After being there for about 7 minutes, handcuffed the guy. And they put him in the cop car and took him out. In the world, don't you ever forget this. That's called being under the influence. Listen, he was under the influence. Because he was under the influence, he couldn't walk right. Girls, because he was under the influence, his speech was slurred. Because he was under the influence, he became another person. The power of influence. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Something happens on Saturday night. Yes, sometimes on Wednesday, Thursday, but something happens to every preacher in this room. When you know that Sunday, you have to stand up and preach the Word of God. Something happens. You get really sober. You get a little burden upon you because you know Sunday's coming and you can't stand up behind the pulpit and preach in the strength of the flesh. You cannot get up and tell God's people his word if you have not been influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. This is a passion that drives my life. I want my wife to say, truly today he was influenced by the presence of Jesus. I want my children to say, there was something about Daddy today. It almost was like Jesus showed up to our house. I want my friends to say sometimes, it seems like Sammy's acting a little bit differently today. He's not normal. He's got something upon his life. And may it be the stamp of Jesus' image upon my life that my friends can see, that my family can see, that his church can see, that the world can see, that he is underneath the influence, not of alcohol, but underneath the influence of the Almighty God. Can I ask you a question? Who are you allowing to influence your life? Look at me right now. Who are you allowing to influence your life? You let somebody tell you that living for God is not worth it? You're letting somebody pump the world into you. You're letting the celebrities and the rock stars tell you how to dress, tell you how to talk, tell you how to live. These people don't have God. I want to tell you today, the greatest power of influence and the greatest source of your influence should be Jesus. It should be Jesus. Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope that you today can say, man, before I take care of my one, oh Lord, after I take care of my one, I want you to be the one. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowships of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to be able to comport myself like Jesus. I want people to say, something's different about you. Tell me what it is. And I can tell them, several years ago, I met a man. And his name is Jesus. The power of influence. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? I conclude with verse 22. Look what the Bible says in verse 22. Verse 22. Acts 4:22. What does the Bible say? We'll finish here. Acts 4:22. Ready, begin. It's verse 20. I made a mistake. Verse 20. Got to keep it real behind the pulpit, baby. Verse 20. What does the Bible say? We cannot help but to what? Of two things. Of what we what? What you've seen and what you heard. You think what you watch on YouTube, Netflix, on your phone when nobody's around, you think, oh, this is not really going to have an influence on me. According to the Bible, it does. My parents don't know. Yeah, but God knows. My pastor doesn't know. Yeah, but God knows. How many teenagers have gotten into trouble because they cannot control their sorry phone? And Satan has ruined so many lives, so many minds, taking away purity, relationships, parental authority, because the cell phone has influenced you, not for heaven, but for hell. You cannot help but to speak of the things that you've seen and the things that you hear. Watch that. So an unorthodox way to end the message, but I don't care. Watch it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Careful, little ears, what you hear. Careful what you're watching, because everything that you see and hear, you will eventually become.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.